Have to go back to Eric? Okay. The title of the message this morning is Behold the Man. Three words, but they are deep. Behold means to gaze, to look upon in amazement. When we behold Jesus, we should be in amazement, in wonder, in awe. As we know, Jesus is undefined, beyond description, and more than wonderful, more than amazing. This morning, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we want to behold the man. If you could turn with me to Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 9 to 18. Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 9 to 18. Revelation chapter 1 and verses 9 to 18. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the isle called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet, saying, write in the book what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, and to Smyrna, and to Pergamum, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. And his head and his hair were like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man, and he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. The disciple John was banished on the Isle of Patmos, where he was given this book of Revelation. The Isle of Patmos is in the Aegean Sea near the west coast of Turkey. In these verses, we have a picture of Jesus in his glory. Each description of Jesus speaks of his greatness, his power, his royalty, his majesty, his infinite glory. In his voice is power and greatness. His hands are infinitely mighty. You could imagine the brightness of Jesus if we can even look at the brightness of the sun without losing our eyesight. Now we know the glory of Jesus is brighter than the sun. And what was the warning when we had the eclipse in April? Do not look at it with the naked eye. You will lose your eyesight. And Jesus is brighter than the sun. You could imagine the brightness of Jesus. Is there any wonder that the disciple John fell as dead? John was a disciple that leaned on Jesus in the night of the Last Supper. Now he sees Jesus in his glory and majesty and greatness and falls as dead before him. Revelation chapter 11 verse 15 states, and the seventh angel sounded, And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. I'll read you a quick turn if you want, Revelation chapter 19, and we're going to read verses 11 to 16. Revelation chapter 19 and verses 11 to 16. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has the name written on him, which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Diadems are crowns. The armies in heaven were following Jesus. You could picture that, or try to anyway. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11 state, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now if you read, we go back to Genesis, I'll read to you Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and we all know that verse. We speak now about Jesus as co-creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We all know that verse. The Hebrew name for God in this verse is Elohim, which is plural and refers to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus was present as co-creator. He created and held stars in his hand. Those huge planets and huge stars, he holds them in his hand. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 states, God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image and after our likeness. Jesus was involved in creation. All creation is subject to the authority of Jesus. We know that from Isaiah chapter 48, verse 13, which says, surely my hand founded the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand together. All creation is subject to the authority of Jesus. I'm going to read to you Colossians chapter 1 and verses 15 to 19. And we're still talking about Jesus as co-creator. Now we'll go a little bit deeper. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 19. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jump to verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Everything that God is in Jesus. Now I want to read to you Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. Compare this description of Jesus to what we just read about him in the book of Revelation, and to what we read about him as co-creator. What do we see? Do we see our God hanging on the cross for 6 hours? Do we see our God taking responsibility, the penalty, and the punishment for our sins? Do we see the fountain of God's infinite love flowing freely for us? Can we hear him saying from the cross, I love you, I love you, I love you. Our God that we just read about, his greatness in Revelation, his greatness as co-creator, our God is not on the cross. Those same hands that help planets, our God is not on the cross. The fountain of his love is flowing freely for us. And from the cross, we can hear him saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. Someone once asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And Jesus went like this. He stretched out his arms and died for us. Want to read, and please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to read verses 1 to 5. Isaiah chapter 53 and verses 1 to 5. Need a moment to get there. Isaiah chapter 53 and verses 1 to 5. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of the dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we did consider him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Again, compare this description of Jesus with what we read about him as co-creator and in his greatness and glory. Verse 2 here of Isaiah 53 tells us that Jesus removed his glory, his beauty, his majesty, and became a man, one of us. He wasn't born with a halo around his head, as you see on some Christmas cards. Get to verse 3. King of kings and Lord of lords came to earth, and we esteemed him not. Instead, we considered him stricken and smitten by God. Let's read John chapter 19 and verses 1 to 5. John chapter 19 and verses 1 to 5. Pilate then took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and put a purple robe on him. And they began to come up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and to give him slaps in the face. Pilate came out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, so that you may know that I find no guilt in him." Jesus then came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." The crown of thorns was forcefully placed on Jesus' head. Wasn't it nice like to see Miss America or Miss Universe pageants? They placed the crown on the head. These were big, sharp thorns, and they rammed it into his head to make sure his head would bleed. The one who was given the title King of Kings and Lord of Lords now has a crown of thorns on his head. Imagine that. The one who created humanity allowed man, humanity, to brutally beat him during the scourging until his body was torn open and until he was bleeding profusely. He who formed the hand allowed man to slap him in the face. The one who created the tongue, which should be used to worship him, is now subjected to hate-filled mocking and scorn. Jesus came with the message of love and hope, redemption and forgiveness. Psalm 45, verse 2 says, "Your lips have been anointed with grace." But he allows himself to be mocked by foul-mouthed men. He who created the blood and knowing how necessary it is for life, allowed himself to bleed profusely. No, Jesus' arteries broke open when he was beaten. I mean, he looked like a mass of torn tissue. The reason I'm mentioning that, the blood pressure in your arteries is 6 times what it is in your veins. Jesus' arteries broke open and spurred out blood all over the place. And he allowed this to happen, knowing how important blood is for life. He allowed it to happen. He allowed himself to bleed profusely. The one who created the nervous system allowed himself to experience pain so intense and so extreme that his body contorted in agony. Imagine that. Jesus was a living, bleeding sacrifice. He didn't die quickly. When they removed the purple robe from him, they took it off him all at once. Now, meaning, as I mentioned previously, take off a bandage. You do it slowly so it doesn't hurt. When they put this robe on Jesus, it stuck like massive amounts of band-aids to the coagulated blood after the scourging. They ripped it off him all at once. Imagine what that was like. We carefully take off a band-aid. They ripped that robe off of him. Imagine the pain and the agony he was in. He who formed man and gave him facial features allowed his face and his body to be marred more than any man. Behold the man. This morning, knowing what we just said all along through this message, behold the man. Holy Spirit, help us to behold the man. Viewing the crucifixion, we see that the hands which created the vastness of outer space and held stars were now crucified. He who is timeless and holds time in his hands permitted a 6-hour period in his life when he would experience extreme, brutal, intense suffering and agony. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6-8, I'll read it to you. "Who being in the form of God, so it was not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself and experienced the death of the cross for our salvation. He didn't have any sin. He experienced the death of the cross and all his suffering for our salvation. He paid the price for our sins. He came to pay a debt he didn't even owe, because we owed a debt we could never pay. How do we see Jesus this morning? John chapter 19, verse 5 tells us, "Behold the man." We sing to him, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7, 8, and 10, I'll read to you, Paul wrote, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for Christ's sake. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may win Christ. That I may be found in him, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." Now in prior verses, Paul states his credentials. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to righteousness of the law, found blameless. Yet, he says he counted all things as loss for the surpassing value, or in the King James Version, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may win Christ." Paul greatly valued the knowledge of Jesus. He had his priorities set correctly. We need to take time to behold the Lord, to study Jesus, study him in his suffering, to know him better, to understand him better. This morning, how do we see Jesus? Do we see him as God and all his greatness, who humbled himself and became man? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. We sang it this morning. "He made himself who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Do we see him as God in all his greatness, who humbled himself and became a man, to live a life of suffering, to be mistreated, misunderstood, rejected, to be mocked, scorned, to be slapped in the face and spit upon, to be brutally beaten and bleeding profusely, to be crucified for 6 hours. Because as the prophet Isaiah said, he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. And he suffered all this for us. And because of his love for us, he accepted all the suffering when he could have stopped it in an instant. Jesus could have called one angel, just one, and there were many more at the foot of the cross. Jesus could have had one angel kill his adversaries. Instead, the angels had to watch in horror because Jesus wouldn't allow them to come to his rescue. He who was almighty and has the armies of heaven following him, as we read earlier in the book of Revelation, subjected himself to human torture and did not permit anyone to come to his rescue. Do we see him as a great God with an infinite love who suffered all these things for our salvation from eternal hell? The second verse of the hymn of Sacred Head states, What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinner's gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior, 'tis I deserve thy place. Do you see Jesus as the greatest ransom that was ever given? This morning we want to ask the Lord to cause us to really turn our eyes upon Jesus, to behold the man and have a greater revelation and understanding of who he is and all that he means to us. How he willingly removed his glory and majesty. How he suffered for us. How he died the most horrible death so that he could change our destiny from eternal hell to eternal heaven. Isaiah 53, verse 3, I'll read it to you again. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. We want to behold the man and esteem him for who he is, for the price that he paid for our salvation, and for all that he means to us. Going to begin the next part of the service.